The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, John Budden and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Bath, Haydock and Worcester in the afternoon. There's a big evening at Sandown where the Brigadier Gerard takes centre stage. Also jumps racing from Weatherby, and there's racing over in Ireland from Ferry House on Thursday evening as well. So six meetings to look forward to, plenty of action to look ahead to, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sam Turner. How are you, sir?
Hello, Mark. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you. Looking forward to another good week of racing. I mean, Brigadier Gerard Knight's always pretty good at Sandown.
Yeah, it illuminates the week's action, really, doesn't it? And I mean, the ground's going to be pretty desperate there, reading sort of tweets from Andrew Cooper, clerk of the course, this morning, saying that the going stick was probably the third worst reading that he's had since he introduced it. So it's going to be the third heaviest meeting since they introduced it. So it is going to be a real war of attrition there, especially that the Henry VIII that we'll get to, the Henry II that we'll get to very shortly at 7:15. You know, that's going to be a real slog in the mud over 2 miles.
We'll move on to Thursday's action shortly, but we'll just talk about a few of the stories in the news to start with. Obviously, the ground at Epsom's something that people will be considering at the moment, and that might mean that we don't see Tal Fasher, Dermot Wells filly, who was reasonably impressive in a trial over in Ireland a few weeks ago.
Yeah, similar to Sandown, who had 15 mil overnight, sort of. Epsom have had 13 mil as well, so it's currently good to soft in places. You have a feeling that with Tegruda already in the race in the same colours for the owner, that Tal Fasher might get sidelined and pushed elsewhere, and with Royal Ascot possibly being one of her primary targets, I would think, like something like the Ribblesdale, would be more of an aim for her, I would suggest.
Yeah, maybe so. And Tagruda just on the drift slightly this week. She's out to 2-1. I suppose that's probably because money's come from Marvellous after her Irish Guineas win. So
yeah, just levelling up the market a little bit. I mean, Tegruda, I wouldn't think that they got massive liabilities, the layers, with her, really, because she was sort of shoehorned into a very short price on the back of that win in the Pretty Polly. And I just wonder whether they've probably seen more money, you know, 10 and 12 for Marvellous into sort of 4-1, 9-2. And the market's starting to take shape a little bit. We might see Marsh Daisy supplemented as well if the ground was genuinely soft. I think she could be a runner for Hughie Morrison.
She's 14-1 if she's supplemented, which, nice each way shape.
I mean, absolutely.
With Tagruda being so short at the top of the betting, I think you need to find an each way angle. Probably the same with the Derby as well.
Yeah, it's a race, the Oaks, that I haven't really got to grips with yet. I sort of missed the prices to Gruda, you know, and didn't really cotton on to her at an early stage, so I haven't really had a play in the race, to be honest, this year.
Okay. Well, we'll worry about that in a couple of weeks' time. You mentioned that you think Tal Fasher might go to Royal Ascot. A couple of stories related to Royal Ascot in the paper today as well. We'll start with Tomo, who may now be ridden by Kieran Fallon, because Richard Hughes will obviously switch to Knight of Thunder.
Yeah, a bit of a flip-flopping jockey arrangement there. Hughesy keen, very keen, obviously, to get back on Knight of Thunder in the St James's Palace. And obviously, Tomo got a reputation to rebuild a little bit after the performance in the Guineas. But I do think he's a lot better than that. And I'd be interested to see how he goes at Ascot. I think this year's Ascot is, or Royal Ascot, is really bubbling up into be a fantastic meeting. I think some of the three-year-old horses look very strong. I think some lot of nice two-year-olds that we've seen, and some of the handicappers and sort of group races look as though they're going to really make up into nice. There just seems a lot of, I mean, you probably say the same every year, but there seems to be a lot of exciting talent around sort of in the middle distance ranges as well as the sprinting.
Yeah.
Obviously, we saw a great sprinter, possibly a very good sprinter at Haydock on Saturday as well, didn't we?
Yeah, and just with the St James's Palace as well, I mean, that on its own is warming up into a nice race. If Kingman goes to the race, you've got Knight of Thunder, Tomo, War Commander won at Royal Ascot last year.
You
could give any of them a chance, couldn't you?
Well, it's just a terrific heat. You've got horses that can really quicken as well off easy ground, and so if the conditions do deteriorate a little bit, hopefully we're going to get some dry weather going into June. That's the long range forecast anyway. From the second week of June, it's supposed to dry out and warm up, and you know, hopefully we can have a quality raw meeting with some sunshine and see these quality horses quicken off decent ground. You know, because we have got horses that have got a fifth gear. You know, as Knight of Thunder showed and Kingman showed on Sunday.
Yeah, and any cutting the ground would definitely be up Kingman Street. Talking about Royal Ascot as well, it's going to be a good meeting. We wouldn't have the same meeting, I don't think, anymore without Wesley Ward's runners from the USA. He's earmarked his team, and he's been quite bullish about a few of them as well. I mean, his comments saying that he thinks Spanish Pipe Dream is definitely better than Sweet Emma, who finished runner-up last year, and possibly better than Jealous Again, who won the race
won the Queen Mary, nearly 5 years ago now. It seems incredible that those 5 years have gone since his first sort of groundbreaking visit. When he had a double, didn't he? Strike the Tiger, bolted up in the Windsor Castle, and Jealous Again won the Queen Mary, and obviously No Name Ever has won, but he's ruled out, unfortunately, with an injury. He was going to run in the Jersey Stakes, but he's going to bring four over, a quartet over, and I think Ascot really need to be commended. It's turning into an international meeting. If we could get one or two of those very good Japanese horses over to supplement the Australian sprinters and the American juveniles, and obviously the French come, and Ireland are well represented. It's turning into a really multi-global meeting. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I suppose if we do get some of those Japanese runners coming over, it'd be similar to Longchamp where they got there. It would just be...
Well, I don't know why they don't come, Royal Ascot. I mean, obviously, the Australians can travel, and you'd like to see Just Away coming over, the horse that won at... over at Maidan, obviously, it absolutely sluiced through them and was very, very impressive World Cup night. So, yeah, it'd be great to see him.
Okay, so that's pretty much the news for today. We'll move on to Thursday's action. We're going to look at three races at Sandown. We're going to look at the Brigadier Gerard, of course, the big race on the evening, and a couple of others as well. There's a Group 3 in the Henry II Stakes and the listed National Stakes that we're going to focus on, and we'll get Sam's thoughts in just a second.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Sandown on Thursday evening. Hopefully the weather won't ruin the card too much, but we're going to look ahead to it as it stands. And the first race that we've got here is the 640, which is the National Stakes, a listed race of a 5 furlong, so some pretty good sprinters in action here. And there's several of them coming into this off just one start and one success, and you've got the likes of Escalating chasing the hat-trick. You could probably set a case for a few of these. Which ones are on your short list?
Well, Rosina won the race last year, so you know it's a quality heat. 70-year-olds, unfortunately we haven't got an each-way shape to the race, but I do think there's one or two horses in here which could just be below the radar a little bit. Certainly Bonnie Gray for Rob Millman's team. I'm really impressed with her over 5 furlongs at Warwick. She was always half on the collar, just... I thought Martin Lane gave her a lovely introduction. He didn't recourse to the whip too early, but she just needed to be nudged into the bridle all the way around Warwick. But she would have learnt a lot from that, and she stayed very strongly. And her sire, Helvellyn, won the Coventry Stakes at Royal Ascot. So I'd be interested to see if she wins this and then goes on to something like the Albany over 6 furlongs or the Queen Mary over 5. I think they've got a live one there. Her overall speed figure and the sectionals were very, very good from Warwick. And I know people will say, well, it's only lowly Warwick and she's got to go to Sandown and she's taking on, you know, horses from Tom Dascombe and Richard Hannon and et cetera, et cetera. But this race has got a little bit of a history of throwing up one or two surprises, and I think she's a viable candidate for it. I think she'd be a nice price as well, hopefully.
Yes, and the fact that it was on soft ground at Warwick, if the conditions become testing.
Absolutely, I think the stiff 5 will be absolutely perfect for it at Sandown. I think Cock of the North is very interesting from 1. Obviously, the Brocklesby winner, the form's worked out very well. Scott Dixon's left him alone since then. 2 months off. Freddie Tylicki's a jockey I think is vastly, vastly underrated. I think he's a really, really strong pilot. And from 1, he could absolutely bounce out and try and make all. I think he'd be a danger up the far rail. But I think Bonnie Gray is a useful filly in the making.
OK. Richard Hannon and Richard Hughes have won this several times in the past as well, a whole host of times in the last 10 years or so. What do you make of Tiggy Wiggy? Because likely to be the favourite.
Yeah, I mean, she represents probably the best form in the race at the moment. She was second to Patience Alexander in that York race. The listed contest up there in the May meeting, that was another good run. She handled soft ground well. She's nicely drawn in 2. Yes, she's got a great chance. This is a 4th run in quick succession. If the ground went really, really soft there, I just wonder whether she might just bounce off one or two of those hard runs that she had. A tough race at Salisbury not long ago, and I know she's probably a very hardy filly, but she'll have to be.
Okay. So how do you play it then? Do you take a chance on Bonnie Gray?
Yeah, I think I would. I thought Martin Lane was really excelled on her last time. I hear from James, you know, a regular contributor to the show, that she's improved a bit from Warwick.
Okay.
I think she's a slow maturing type, so hopefully she's still progressing.
Okay, then. Bonnie Gray then could be a bit of an each way selection. A nice price in the 640 at Sandown. Well, maybe not each way because of seven runners, but a nice price anyway. Moving on to the 715 next, the Henry II Stakes, which is the first Group 3 contest of the card. And like you said earlier on, it's going to be a bit of a war of attrition, this over 2 miles on soft and heavy ground, probably heavy ground if the rain continues. We've got betting on site at the moment as well, and Brown Panther heads that betting at 7-2, 4-1 for Tiger Cliff. Camborne is 7-1 with High Jinx. Seismos is 10-1, 11s for El Salvador and Girolamo, and then 12-1 or bigger prices the rest.
Yeah, really interesting renewal. I don't think there's a standout candidate, as we see from the betting. It's almost 4-1 the field. Brown Panther coming here after his Chester win, in which he beat Hillstar, who runs later in the Brigadier Gerard at 7.50, dropping back in trip. I thought this was a really hard race to get an angle into. I can understand Tiger Cliff being to the fore of the market, and indeed Brown Panther. Both of them love soft ground, come here in good form. Tiger Cliff ran really well at York, beating one or two of his rivals here, staying on quite nicely at a track he's run well at before, having won an Ebor. However, I thought the front end of the market was tight enough, and I just fancied taking him on with a couple of almost floaters, really, at bigger prices. Camborne, he's a bit of a headbanger. If he was a, you know, if he was a youth, he'd have an Asbo and a tag. But he's very talented when he's right, and he loves soft ground. And he showed at Doncaster last year that he can travel on soft ground where some horses can't. And William Buick knows him really well. He wears the cheap pieces for a good reason as well, because he is a bit wayward. He'll either really love it or he'll spit the dummy and really throw the toys out of the pram. He was seventh in the race that Tiger Cliff was third, but he was very much isolated on his own on the far side. I think that was a tactic and a ploy from William Buick, but he stayed on quite nicely there. The ground wouldn't be anywhere near soft enough for him. He just wants things to happen at a slower pace, but he does stay well, and I thought at 7 or 8 to 1 he could be a bit of value. And the other interesting one at a double figure price is Biographer, who is another headbanger. He's blinkered for the first time because he can spit the dummy as well. But he's got some very, very good form on very soft ground, round the likes of Ascot last year. He's been waiting for soft ground. He got taken out of this race last year because I think the ground was too quick. And he wears the blinkers for the first time, which will hopefully concentrate the mind and hopefully iron out his idiosyncrasies. David Lanigan had his first winner of the new turf season, ironically on the all-weather, though, yesterday. And that's, Tuesday afternoon. So the yard are just coming into a little bit of form, and I thought he might run all right at 12-1 as well. So I'd rather play a couple at bigger prices than the front end of the market, I think.
Okay. One more just to mention in there, Menorah.
Yeah, gone there looking for fast ground.
Yeah.
For his first run at the age of 9 on the flat, and he's found it bottomless. That's typical, isn't it?
It is. I feel a bit sorry for connections of that. But anyway, you're going to just remind us of your two?
Yeah, I'll take a couple against the field. Camborne at 7 and Biographer at 12. They'd only be small plays for me because I do respect Brown Panther and Tiger Cliff. I don't for 1 minute think that they can't possibly win. It's not that type of bet, but I just prefer something at bigger price. I think Oriental Fox is another one that I'd have on the shortlist as well. I mean, I've named 3 out of the 12 there, but he's sort of 10-12 to 1, and he ran okay on his comeback as well. I just think it's that type of race. I wouldn't be sort of suckered into the front end of the market, really. I thought Brown Panther won a weak race at Chester. He stayed really well. Hillstar over a mile and 5, it dragged the stamina out of him, so I was a bit up in the air about that. And you know, it's only a year or two ago that Tiger Cliff has been running off the mark in the low 80s, so you know, it's quite a step up in class for him as well. So just little negatives about those two.
Okay, the 750 is the big race of the evening. It's the Brigadier Gerard Stakes, which is Group 3 over a mile and a quarter. Betting on site for this one as well, and Hillstar is the 2-1 favourite. Remote 3-1 with Sharistan, Top Notch Tonto 7-2, and then 12-1 for Sheikh Zayed Road, the outsider. Several good performers in here. Brian Ellison's stepped Top Notch Tonto up in trip here.
Yeah, I think it's a risk worth taking.
Yeah, he says that he's not worried about the opposition. It's just the trip that's the main danger.
Yeah.
So do you think he gets the trip?
Well, we'll certainly find out at 5-8 on Thursday evening. It's a tricky little race for me, this. I think one or two have probably entered into this thinking, well, you know, even if we finish third, fourth, we're going to get good prize money. you know, Sheikh Zayed Road wears the hood for the first time. He's done most of his running over a mile and a half. I wonder whether he's just being prepped for a Royal Ascot run where he's run well before. Shahristan's interesting to some extent, but he's six now. Remote progressed nicely, but, you know, is he really a Group 3, Group 2 horse? I mean, this all revolves around Hillstar, really, for me, and whether he can get his mind right and take what is a clear opportunity for him. I mean, obviously, some of his back class and his previous runs last year were pretty good in the warmest of battles. He was second, obviously, to Brown Panther over a mile and five at Chester last time. Didn't really get home. The ground was really soft. Back to a mile and a quarter. He should go very well here. The only problem is that he can get very jazzed up and buzzy before a race. And I think last time at Chester, he wore a hood down to the start to try and just suppress all those anxious moments that he and traits that he displays before a race. I think, provided he can just cope, because there'll be a decent crowd there tomorrow night at Sandown, providing he can just cope with all the hullabaloo and that sort of razzmatazz, then he looks to be very much the one to beat here. He shouldn't really have any issues with the ground. The trip's fine. He's had that run now as well at Chester just to bring him on. I'm disappointed if he couldn't win this.
Yeah, and also with the ground becoming so testing, if it does become a bit of a war of attrition, you know he stays further, whereas there's question marks whether top-notch Tonto is going to stay.
Exactly.
So if it comes down to just a battle between two of them staying on,
yes,
then it's going to be in Hillside's favour, isn't it?
I've been a bit disappointed with top-notch Tonto this year. I know he's running two decent races, but he got brushed aside at Sandown when the ground should have suited him first time up, and then obviously he was sixth and well beaten by Olympic Glory. You know, I thought he could get in the frame there. Maybe the ground had dried out too much for him there. But, you know, he's starting to become a horse where you're making one or two little excuses. And, you know, he made such a rapid and exciting progression last year up through the ranks, up through handicap ranks into group race class that, you know, he's a horse that is very, very likeable. But he's finding it harder this year to recapture those glories.
Mm. OK, Hillstar then probably should win the Brigadier Gerard in Sam's opinion. Let's just have a quick summary of all your selections, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, just in the National Stakes, the 640, probably a little bit of an outsider here. Bonnie Gray, number five on the card, good winner at Warwick on her debut and can progress and be very competitive in this field, I think. 715, the Henry II Stakes over 2 miles, going to be a real slog in the mud at Sandown. Ground very, very deep there, 15 mil of rain in the last day or so. That could play to the strengths of Camborne and also Biographer, who would be one for a smaller bet, I think, but he just might be reignited by the blinkers first time. Then in the Brigadier Gerard Stakes at 750, I like the claims here of Hillstar. Really has everything in his favour. It'd be disappointing if he can't take this opportunity with both hands.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Sam.
Pleasure.
Should be a good day. Enjoy it on Thursday.
Many thanks, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sam Turner on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Sean Quinn, John Budden and Mark Slater in the studio. Bath, Haydock and Worcester, the three meetings in the afternoon. Sandown, Weatherby and Fairy House will take us through the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.